Hello, listener. This is Clayton Pixton. It is a beautiful evening on the night of Saturday, June 17th, 2023, and I am strolling in the Town Center Plaza. I brought my recorder along so I could do this podcast episode. I recorded a podcast episode several nights ago in the middle of the night, or what I hoped to make into a podcast episode. However, in the process of getting that to my computer and organizing my files, I appear to have accidentally deleted the wrong file from my recorder, and so it is gone forever. But that's okay, because I think I can remember most of what I said. So I'll try to repeat that, and that recording was 50 minutes long. I'm going to try to make this much shorter for you. Basically, I have been wanting to know and understand more about the light of Christ and the difference between that and the Holy Ghost, and when they're referred to in the scriptures. So I've wondered if there has been anybody who's written about this in any more than a passing comment and try to delve into this. I actually found this little book on Deseret Bookshelf. It's an e-book, and it's by Daniel K. Judd, who happens to be my old religion professor at BYU. What? Who would have thunk? I liked him. He actually ended up getting called to the Quorum of the 70. Anyway, good guy. And he was familiar with the work of Terry Warner. And you can see that in this little book. What's the book called? The Spirit of Christ, A Light Amidst the Darkness. So it's about the Spirit of Christ, the light of Christ. So yeah, good for me. Trying to figure out here now that I've read it. It's quite short. It's like, what, 39 pages? And that's, I think, including all the extra pages and everything. I'm not sure, but anyway, there are a few good things in here at least that I was able to glean. And since we're on the subject of the podcast, I haven't given any chance to play any music. Maybe I will have done that before I started. And obviously I don't know what that music is, because it exists in the future. Okay, hope you enjoyed whatever music that was. By the way, I'm in the process of gathering some of my music to release on Spotify. I've been needing to for a while, and a lot of my old recordings that really aren't that polished, but yeah. So the things that I got from this book, The Holy Ghost and the Light of Christ. Why is the light of Christ important in the Holy Ghost for discussion of psychology? Do I even need to say? The light of Christ is the constant, ever-present light, I guess. With the light is something that makes manifest. So the light that lets us know the difference between right and wrong at all times. But it's more than that. It's also the power by which all things were made. The earth, the moon, the sun, the planets, the stars, all physical stuff as we know it. It's the very law by which all things are governed. It's the way we get our understanding in our minds, like all our understanding. If I'm reading the scripture right, it's the way we, it's the same light that our eyes, you know, use. That's the light of Christ. Like, it's all, do I understand all that? No. Which is why I'm trying to investigate it, understand it better. But it is those things. How exactly, what that means or how that works, I'm not exactly sure. But why is that important to psychology? Because you're swimming in it all the time, and it's what can put you in a bad mood or a good mood. It's how you know everything you know. It's how you see everything. How can that be overemphasized? In the scriptures, well, there's the Holy Ghost and there's the light of Christ, and they're two very different things. And the scriptures often aren't, you know, the way they talk about the two isn't as separate as you might think, isn't as distinct and clear about, you know, which one is which to me, because the terms Spirit of God and Spirit of the Lord and Spirit and stuff like that, there are terms like that in the scriptures that, at least as far as I know, could refer to both or either or. So it's a little confusing, and I think it's very natural for us to get them confused. But boy, where do I start and end? I'm gonna try to help you understand with as few words as possible, but it will be a little clumsy, especially since I'm, you know, don't totally understand myself. But the Holy Ghost and the light of Christ are two very separate, different things. The Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead. He is a personage. He testifies of the Father and the Son. He is like a minister on behalf of the Father and the Son, you might say. He is sentient, right? He's a person. But he doesn't have a body. And so he can dwell in our hearts. He can be in us. I guess Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, they have a body. And so, if I'm thinking about this right, maybe that means that their spirit can't dwell in us the same way that an unembodied spirit can. Evil spirits can dwell in our hearts as well. And that's up to us, our choices as to whether, you know, we let them in. I wonder if it happens outside of our choice. Maybe it could happen outside of our choice. I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, little children who kind of don't know any better and do things because of how they've been taught, and they self-deceive, and even though they don't sin because they don't know the difference. That makes sense. Don't know good and evil yet. And the same way, a more mature person who doesn't know something can also, I don't know whether it's proper to say sin ignorantly. That's another little discussion. It's not, you know, is ignorant sin, is that sin? You get to defining stuff, and anyway, I have a thought about that, but I'm going to save it. Okay, so we're talking about the Holy Ghost and the light of Christ. First, the Holy Ghost, yeah, personage. And the Holy Ghost is a minister to us. He can communicate, and I keep saying he, because the scriptures say he. So I must presume he's male, but he is able to dwell in our hearts. But the way he communicates is different than the light of Christ. He communicates in a very distinct, pointed, specific way. We can receive a vision where we see actual images and events and so forth, and gain understanding through those. The understanding we gain, is that through the Holy Ghost or the light of Christ? And here's the, sorry I'm jumping all around, but I'll just read the means. There's a quote in here that says that the light of Christ is the means by which, like, the Holy Ghost works even. So that explains to me why it can be a little confusing. Well, which one is, you know, what is it, the Holy Ghost or the light of Christ? Well, it's always the light of Christ, if I'm understanding this right about the means. It's always the light of Christ. It just could be through, you know, the originator could be the Holy Ghost, or it could be words we read on a page, or ideas we have as we're thinking about different matters, scientific things or spiritual things or anything else. It could be somebody's voice could be the originator, but it's all, the knowledge is all carried to us through the light of Christ. That's how we gain our knowledge. That's how knowledge is gained. It's not directly through the things that we see or hear or touch or smell or taste. Savvy? Am I using that word right? I don't know. Okay, so the Holy Ghost is very distinct and pointed and specific, gives us specific, reveals specific knowledge, and is not always present with us. If you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, then you have, you can have the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost. But, you know, none of us are perfect, and it depends on our worthiness. So I would say many of us, even who have the gift and who know, have the correct teachings and everything, probably don't enjoy the companionship of the Holy Ghost as constantly as we could. It's something we have to work on. I mean, I kind of told you the end of the discussion as far as I know, which is that the light of Christ is the means by which, you know, the Holy Ghost ministers. If that is correct, if I'm understanding that correct, that would explain a lot. So in the scriptures you might say, oh, well, was this the Holy Ghost or was it the light of Christ? Well, if it was the Holy Ghost, then it was the Holy Ghost and the light of Christ. And if it was the light of Christ, then it's just the light of Christ. That makes sense. But there are many times in the scriptures I am believing that it's talking about the light of Christ when we might be more inclined in our present culture, you might say, present understanding as a people, might be inclined to assume it's the Holy Ghost when it's really just the light of Christ. For example, well, let me just read this quote. This is by President Joseph F. Smith. He was a prophet, I don't remember the years, but sometime in the early, 1900s, which is the 20th century, I guess. He said, "The question is often asked, is there any difference between the Spirit of the Lord and the Holy Ghost? The terms are frequently used synonymously. We often say the Spirit of God when we mean the Holy Ghost. We likewise say the Holy Ghost when we mean the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is a personage in the Godhead, and is not that which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It is the Spirit of God which proceeds through Christ to the world, that enlightens every man that comes into the world, and that strives with the children of men, and will continue to strive with them, until it brings them to a knowledge of the truth and the possession of the greater light and testimony of the Holy Ghost." Kind of want to read that again, but I'm not going to. You can rewind it. So one thing I learned was that the Lord says many times in the scriptures, my spirit will not always strive with man. And Mormon, maybe Moroni, I can't remember, say how the Spirit of the Lord either ceaseth soon to strive with the Nephites or already has ceased to strive with them. And did I already say the Lord says how my spirit will not always strive with men, and referring to when they're, kind of past a certain point of wickedness and have just rejected so much truth for so long, however that's determined. So that means to me, if the light of Christ, I'm just going to call it, if it won't always strive with the children of men, how could that be? How could that be if it's ever present with us and it's all around us all the time? I don't know. Maybe it's still around us or something, but what does it mean that it strives with us? To strive means to try. In my mind, and maybe it means kind of to work with somebody, to continue trying to get them to do what's right. It's not always going to do that. So yeah, I don't know what that means. Because I used to think that was the Holy Ghost, but President Smith is saying it's the spirit that strives with men is the light of Christ. So yeah, this is just where I am, guys, on my understanding. I hope that one day we can have a better understanding of this, and yeah, much better understanding. I think it will help us in our lives, help us understand psychology. But I do remember one thing I talked about a little that I want to see if I can remember a bit of. You might wonder, okay, well, how does the Holy Ghost, what does that have to do with psychology and me and the light of Christ? Let me see what I can come up with for an answer here. So, the Holy Ghost, so I happen to be baptized with the authority of God and have been given the gift of the Holy Ghost by that same authority. And, some others have that same privilege like me, and then it's up to us to live worthy of that and enjoy that constant companionship. But not everybody has that privilege. Not everybody's come to knowledge of the truth like that and had that ordinance and all that. So if that's the case, then I don't know exactly how often or if everybody in their lifetime feels the influence of the Holy Ghost at one time or another, or from time to time, prompting, giving them knowledge or prompting them to do good or or maybe maybe the prompting to do good is more the light of Christ's role. I know before you're baptized, you can gain a testimony of the truth of certain things that will lead you to be baptized and so forth. And you can, you know, people who haven't been baptized have received visions and dreams and those types of things, which is of the Holy Ghost. And they obviously didn't have the gift of it yet. And that's happened many times. And I think it happens all the time. But I don't know really how often or whether everybody is visited by the Holy Ghost in some form or other, even if they, outside of the gift of the Holy Ghost, I just don't know how often that works. The light of Christ, however, everybody who's born into the world has a constant experience with. And it's, since it's constant, it's kind of like the air we breathe. It's kind of like space-time or something. We don't know what it's like not to have it. I don't know what it's like not to have a body. I don't know what anything's like not to have if you've always had it. If you've always had a family, or if you've always had good health, or always lived in one place, or whatever. So the light of Christ, I don't know how to break it down. It's just so all-encompassing. Nothing would work if not for the light of Christ. I don't think matter would be able to be organized like it is without the light of Christ. This earth wouldn't exist without the light of Christ. The rest of the universe wouldn't be organized and operate like it does. So try to imagine that, right? But in terms of psychology, but I hope you've learned a little bit about the light of Christ versus the Holy Ghost. Light of Christ, synonymous with the Spirit of Christ. Sometimes synonymous with the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God. I wonder if the Spirit of God, like a fire is burning, is that about the Holy Ghost or the light of Christ? I mean, these are great questions. Now you can go and look at all these things and be like, huh, I wonder what this is referring to. I wonder how these things work. I don't feel like I was quite finished explaining how the light of Christ affects you in your daily world. You're going along your day, I don't know, obviously if you have to make a choice between right and wrong, it is there at all times. It is the thing that tells you what's right and what's wrong. Of course you have the commandments before you, you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that, should do this, should do that, but those commandments have exceptions, because sometimes it is right to kill, as we see in the first pages of the Book of Mormon and many examples in the Bible. The Lord commands people to kill people. I hope I'm not using too controversial of an example, but I hope by saying that, that you can see that just, you know, the written commandments and spoken commandments are binding. But above anything written is what the Holy Ghost and the light of Christ say, and what a modern prophet says. And, you know, if he says, okay, we're changing this, now we're doing this, and now it's time not to do this, or now it's time to do this, that takes precedence over anything written or anything said before, if they're the true oracles of God, right? Which you can know through the Holy Ghost. And ultimately, it comes down to your own, what God tells you to do. Can that be mistaken? Absolutely. Am I giving people license to do whatever comes to their minds and attribute it to God? No. I hope you understand that. I'm trusting you that you understand that it's not what you make up in your head. It's what comes from God. And that's a lifelong challenge to learn how to distinguish that and honor what comes from God. Yeah, well, I feel like this has been a bit scattered and everything, but this is my little attempt at updating you on my knowledge of what the light of Christ and the Holy Ghost are. I'm sure we could talk more, and we have, really, about how the light of Christ affects psychology. We've been talking about it the whole podcast long, and how self-deception is a result of going against that. Okay, guys. Talk to you later.